Welcome to a very special edition, apparently the second edition, of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. Today we've got Blake Buck, the most handsome man on the planet, and co-hosting with me is not only William Miller, an artist for harmonics. Oh no, what are you?
Well,
dude, you're nothing.
Dude,
now.
It's over. It's over.
All right, well then who you got with you?
Well, I got Allie Robke.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Woman.
That is the title.
Now, one thing, guys, we're all in the same room. In fact, if you listen close.
Ow! Don't hit me.
I just hit that. That's how this show is going to roll. God. All right.
Blake Buck, you are so lucky. You are like on the opposite end of the room, and my small arms can't reach you.
Yeah. And this is your gaming news for Friday, August 8th, 2006.
Blake Buck referenced his big watch.
This week in the news, Ubisoft is alive, Resident Evil puts the stamp on Japan, Sam & Max game tapping on October 17th, free Xbox Live for Euro gamers, Square Enix lays out the Tokyo Game Show offerings, and new Pokemon gets exclusive DS Lite. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
I'm eating all the Pokemon. Don't eat them Pokemon.
All right.
So Sam & Max game tapping October 17th. GameSpot, which I guess is where all our news came from tonight because we're lazy.
I did a good job. Shut up.
GameSpot writes that just under a year ago, indie studio Telltale Games acquired the rights to make games based on the underground comics Sam & Max Freelance Police. Now, for those of you who don't know, Sam & Max was a LucasArts adventure title published in what year, Blake Buck?
1993?
I don't know.
Oh. Dude, I bet it is. Somebody write us in and say, Blake Buck, you were right and you're my god.
The news was a godsend to many old-school gamers who loved the first game and comic-inspired 1993's Sam & Max Hit the Road and lamented the 2004 cancellation of its sequel, Sam & Max Freelance Police. Don't I sound so nice?
I know.
On this new
Miller
has microphone.
A new microphone that I had to buy for him because he's a cheap bitch.
So at E3 this year, Telltale announced it had partnered with PC game distribution service GameTap to co-publish a series of episodic adventure games featuring the Wacky Duo.
The Wacky Duo. Now, you see, my problem with this game is that I don't know this for a fact. I don't really know much about the game, but I'm guessing that it's not... Don't look at me. Look at your microphone. My problem with this game is that I doubt it's going to be written by the same team who wrote the original. You know, and that was what was the best about that game was it had really great comedy writing, and you know, you're going to get somebody who thinks they know how to write Sam & Max, and they don't.
Well, what about the quality of the comic book?
No, they usually, I mean, like, with the comic, they got like...
Shut up! No, I didn't mean to. No.
No,
okay. Really gave me a look.
I hate you. I hate you both.
But I'm not allowed to talk that about instantly comics, invalidated geez. Whatever you were saying.
Oh, fine.
All right, today... Today, the two companies announced that Sam & Max Episode 1 Culture Shock, the first installment in a six-part Sam & Max Season 1, would be available on October 17th on GameTap.
Now, is this only coming to GameTap, or is it going to be other places, too?
I think it's exclusively for the subscribers of GameTap. So you'll be able to download it online and play it if you have a GameTap subscription.
Lame.
Like, no.
Lame. Lame. Lame.
Super. Lame.
All right, Blake Buck, go.
Oh, is it my turn now?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ubisoft is alive. Now, this is another classic example of when Blake Buck has actually not read any of the article, but is going to pretend that he has. So the International Herald Tribune article reveals that the French publisher is working on a new character-driven action game. Ooh. So on Labor Day, American expats... What is that word? Expats perusing... Dude, there are too many big words in this. So the International Herald Tribune came across an article called The Feminine Side of Video Gaming. The article outlined how and would you stop laughing at me? In an industry that
was worse than I am.
That has this historically attracted male audiences, publishers are now targeting largely untapped female demographic.
Yes.
So why am I doing this article? Why don't you just read it?
No. It's more ironic when you read it.
So IHT went on to discuss the recent developments by game companies to make so-called, quote-unquote, pink games. Parlance for women-targeted games that don't focus on body counts. I don't like those games.
So no DMPM.
In these games. The game is a non... so when speaking about Ubisoft King, whenever I say CEO, I just replace that with King. his name is Yves space Guillemot. So now Blake Buck is going to pronounce that as Ba-booba-looba-dooba. The article also uncovered a previously unknown title in the Paris-based publisher has in development called Alive. The game is a non-traditional action survival game set in the aftermath of an earthquake. That sounds totally lame.
Okay. Yes. Ubisoft, yes. Okay.
So what do you think? An earthquake, yeah, like it almost sounds like survival horror minus zombies.
Wait, so did
like it's 9/11 the game? Is that what women want to play? I guess so. What, I mean, Alan, being the only member of the Best Damn Podcast ever this evening to have a vagina, what do you think about this game?
All I know is it has all the right elements going for it. The fact that they threw in, you know, pink game with it makes me want to go buy it right now.
I like pink. There's nothing wrong with pink. I like hot pink in spandex.
But I have a question. Okay, was it Ubisoft who put out the Prince of Persia?
Yes, it was Ubisoft. Yeah. Recently, of note, girly games you might have known, Prince of Persia, yes. Beyond Good and Evil, a pretty girl-targeted game. And it sold like a crap, coincidentally.
Coincidentally.
You can't see this, but in real life, I'm squeezing my breast at William Miller.
I have to close my eyes.
That puts him in his place, all right? Maybe I should turn on the camera for that one.
I think Ubisoft is just trying to, like, claw its way back up to where, you know, it actually had good sales for the first...
What are you saying? You're trying to say something about the industry that you don't know anything about. Ubisoft is now at a higher point than they've ever been ever. They're the number two third party.
Like three crap games.
They're the number two third party developer after EA. That stands for something now. They've got a lot of big intellectual properties under their belt. Rayman, there's a good girly game.
Well, slow down. Don't use all your big cards.
Rayman 3, Hoodlum Havoc. All right, you might have heard of that one.
Now, I have to say, though, about Rayman, like when we were at Macworld last year, that was by far the prettiest game out there on the show floor, in my opinion. All hand-painted, nice looking.
Doom 3 was on the show floor.
Dude, Doom 3,
whatever. Quake 4 was on the show floor.
Whatever.
I mean, you could say from an art standpoint, which would you like more, but I think technical merit, you got to give it to Doom 3. Or
I've seen all the concept art for Rayman.
Block or whatever was out on the floor.
I've seen the concept art for Rayman, and it always looks good. It's just, it's a platformer, which is a platformer, and... Just go play Crash Bandicoot. I don't care.
You know. Wait. So what are you saying?
Wait. What do you mean? What am I saying?
So you're saying platformers aren't fun?
No.
A girl that doesn't like platformers.
So wait. Just because it's a platformer, we don't like it?
Because it's
something that's been done already.
Don't like it.
Wait a minute. I hear that all the time in first person shooter land.
What are you implying?
All right, Allie. Resident Evil stamps. Put stamp on Japan. Go.
Okay, people are going to have to stick with me because I can't read.
Not because the computer's hard to see, because girls can't read, period. Okay. They don't belong on this show. You're the last one. And by the way, Glenda Adams does not count.
Wait, was that like the last and the first? Okay, never mind.
We won't get into Glenda Adams. Although that was a great interview, by the way. If you ever want to come back on our show, we'd love to have you.
Okay, Resident Evil puts stamp on Japan.
We have to give the cheesy GameSpot headline laugh every time.
It's a pun.
Go, you're wasting valuable megabyte.
When gamers think about Resident Evil, they often think of flesh-eating zombies, spine-tingling terror, and the over-the-top gruesome deaths. However, in Japan, they apparently think of stamp collecting. Because they're the Japanese. Capcom's Resident Evil franchise turned 10 years old this year. And to celebrate the occasion, Japan... Oh, did you stop making faces behind my back? I will hit you.
Go!
God.
You've got to be able to operate under this kind of scrutiny.
Japan will be getting a series of RE-themed postage stamps a set of 10 stamps valued at 80 yen, or for all those who don't know the yen to dollar conversion, it's 68 cents.
What is the yen to dollar conversion off the top of your head there, Allie? Rocky, go.
It's 80 to 68. Look, I just told you.
Each will go on sale on September 20th and run for 2 months.
All right, so wait a minute. We've got, okay, in America, we right. see Elvis. we see wildlife. Yeah.
We see freedom.
We see freedom. It's freedom in free.
These colors don't run, baby. These colors don't
like
run.
Dreamcast. But in Japan, no.
You know what I love most about this article? It says Capcom's Resident Evil franchise turned 10 years old this year, and to celebrate the occasion, blah de blah de blah. Pretty much between Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 4, that like 8 year span, all those games sucked.
Yeah.
What are you celebrating here? Come on. Look, Resident Evil 4 came out and it doesn't suck anymore. Yay.
Hey, that is enough to celebrate. I think that's enough for a stamp release.
Aren't you a big Resident Evil fan?
What if I am?
I'd laugh at you and call you a girl. Take that.
Oh.
Did you play Dino Crisis? Yes, no.
No.
You're not a true blood. Not
Resident
true.
Evil fan? Because Dino Buck, Crisis...
Blake Buck has a Turok shirt.
That's not the same thing, but okay. All right, those are two totally different games. One a Japanese game developer, one an American.
I had to put that in there.
That's the only thing I know about video games.
Turok shirt.
Turok shirt.
Oh, all right, all right. Free Xbox Live for Eurogamers, according to GameSpot UK this time, following on the heels of its week of free Xbox Live during this year's E3, Microsoft is set to repeat the promotion in Europe, this time around for its upcoming X06 industry event. What does that mean?
That's like, their, what? I believe that's their, Microsoft's European big Xbox convention, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I think that's what it is.
Microsoft's Live Spaces service is sponsoring the event, which will run from September 20th to 29th. While all Xbox 360 users with a broadband connection are able to use the Silver membership to download demos, trailers, and Xbox Live Arcade games, the Gold package offers online gameplay and exclusive downloadable content. What's that content go?
Well, you'd be able to play great things like, what is it?
Uno.
Uno, and, you know, that's actually, they're going to bring the camera to Uno. Dude, I'd be all over that. Like you would just see my face, huge, on the Uno screen.
That's the only
The face would just intimidate you to just suck at Uno.
That's
They've
the
also
only,
got, what is
no,
it?
No, you keep on going.
No, please, no. Please. Ladies first, you have the hoo-hoo dilly after all.
I was just going to say that's the only game I play on Xbox Live.
Dude.
And I get the little...
And
I
just said, dude, and looked at me. This is why us in the same place doesn't work. He just says, dude.
See, but I was trying to imply Geometry Wars through visual means.
That's what I
meant.
That's what I was trying to think about. But I was thinking about Grid Wars. Remember the knockoff we talked about last week? And by the way, you guys never heard that show because it was crap. Okay?
Lost show number two.
Look, we have high standards for our show. And if I go through a show and I don't like it, that's it. It goes in the trash. All right, guys? I'm not putting out a crap show.
Not putting out a crap show.
All right, so Allie, why don't you take this next article? Since let me pause here for a second and tell the listeners what happened to me yesterday.
Oh God!
So I was over at William Miller's house, and Allie, the weeaboo anime fan that she is, begins watching some. I don't know. It was like Rose Kiss Paradise Island 3 anime, something absolutely awful looking. And then William Miller like knows all the characters' names and is playing along at home. And I'm like, William Miller, what is wrong with you? And he's like, I'm a closet weeaboo.
You shut up talking.
So Allie, since you seem to be such the fan, a connoisseur of Japanese culture, why don't you tell us about Square Enix?
Okay, Blake Buck, I don't mind if I do. Let me put my glasses on and psych myself out for this. Okay. Square Enix lays out TGS.
We gotta stop making faces, William Miller.
Please stop.
I'm not looking over there anymore.
Okay. Well, the Tokyo Game Show is all about guaranteed. What? Is all but guaranteed to feature some surprises later this month. a number of companies are showing their cards early, releasing lists of which games they'll have on the show floor. Square Enix has followed suit with a breakdown of its TGS lineup on its official website. That's an official website.
Okay.
Oh, geez. All right.
Oh, come on. We didn't even get to the list.
Get to the list. Come on. Do
okay,
the list.
Where are we here?
Blah, blah, blah. Right there.
Okay, announce come on. Nintendo DS.
For the Nintendo DS, Chocobo, no, I don't know how, Maho.
Maho got slapped. Chocobo Maho.
Dragon Quest Monsters, Joker, and Final Fantasy III.
I don't know what Joker is, but it better be Batman themed.
The remaining titles are Final Fantasy XI running on the PlayStation 2 and Xbox 360.
Hold on. Final Fantasy III on DS?
Yeah.
Is that US 3? Or Japanese 3? Is that 3 or 6?
That's 3.
That's 3.
Oh, lame. Dude, nobody played them till like 4. You can throw all those other ones in the trash.
Hey, it looks good, okay?
It does look
good.
I saw it.
It looks
down.
Good.
Thumbs down. They're not up. They're down.
Blake Buck.
Shh.
Blake Buck, you can't read.
You're right. What am I looking at this list for? Okay, so continue.
Okay, running on the PS2 and Xbox 360, 11, blah. Okay, Project... What the...
Sylphid. Sylphid.
Sylphid, it
Project
looks like.
Project Sylphid for the Xbox 360.
You better
360.
Not get this next one wrong. That is Sekai Densetsu 4.
See, he's a closet. He's been in the closet all this time.
Don't
you guys, if they're
shit.
Anime fans, send in your anime questions
to Miller
at bestdamnpodcastever.com. He can tell you whatever you want to know.
Sekai Densetsu is Secret of Mana. That's Secret of Mana 4 we're looking at page, ladies and gentlemen.
Dude, there better be infrastructure Wi-Fi.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so I have a story. Right, about Sekai Densetsu 3. Don't you, oh god, me.
Here it goes.
Get out of my mic.
All right,
Don't eat that candy on the show.
All right, so anyway.
She's reaching for the Skittles.
My freshman year in college, me and two buddies, we played through Secret of Mana, right? And it was a lot of fun. We loved it. So we thought, we'll play through Sekai Densetsu 3, which was never released in the United States. And we have a translated jank ROM of it, right? So we play through this game. It takes, I don't know, maybe an hour of gameplay to finally get two characters, and then two people are playing. It's fun. Well, Aaron, he's just standing there, and he's not doing anything. He's the third character in there, but we finally get the third character, and it's only two player.
What?
Three characters, two player.
Lame.
Okay. Can I finish with my Square Enix?
I'm gonna finish this. Okay. No, the main event, video wise, appears to be the Okay.
Wait a minute. Do I see a Final Fantasy VII remake in this list?
Do I see Final Fantasy V and Final Fantasy VI, both for the Game Boy Advance?
Game Boy Advance? What are you doing? That won't even fit in my cart anymore.
And Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core for the PSP.
Crisis Core.
Dude, you know Crisis Core, it's going to be like it's going to be the worst possible game. It's going to be like a Mario Party Final Fantasy game.
Allie, you've been playing Dirge of Cerberus recently. What do you think about that, Heat?
Oh, don't even get me started on that. Aren't we waiting for me to do a review on
that? Yeah, Allie's going to hide that power.
Let's hide that.
She's going to do a review. All right.
I'll give you a review. It blows.
Hey, don't
More
give away
that later.
The ending, okay?
Why did I get that little bit? Like, he just took his hand and rubbed it in her face to get her to shut up. Why did I get these bits on video?
All right. Next up.
This is my turn. What are you doing? All right. New Pokemon gets exclusive DS Lite.
I'm going to eat all your Pokemon.
Dude, I got to catch them all. All right. The latest installment of Nintendo's Pokemon franchise, Diamond and Pearl, they're going to run out of, like, nouns. It's going to be like Pokemon... Knight Rider. That would be the best Pokemon ever.
Pokemon arrive on Japanese.
Dude, I'm waiting for Pokemon. That's what I'm waiting on.
Dude, I get... All right, you can have the part.
Good.
All right, so it'll arrive on Japanese shelves along with their limited edition of the DS Lite hardware, according to the Impress Watch. Releasing game on September 28th, the Pokemon Center original Nintendo DS Lite, edition will be sold by Nintendo subsidiary of the Pokemon Company. Don't they have, like, Pokemon stores in Japan that are all, they look like the Pokemon stores in the game and you can buy,
When I was there, I never saw one. But
maybe
I could have missed
maybe
it.
They're out of style now. If we have any Japanese listeners, let us know the status of your Pokemon stores. All right, so the hardware appears to be similar to the Jet Black DS Lite, which was released in Japan on September 2nd. However, it will be coated in a metallic finish and feature the design from the game on the outer casing. Although the functionality is identical to the normal hardware, such limited edition packages have proven popular in the past. You know, there's a link here to unproven popular. I can only wonder what the words proven popular link to. I guess probably. Man, because Nintendo's just got the stranglehold on the John Woo stranglehold on on you know, the young gamer, and they're gonna go out and buy 50 of these things each.
Me too.
Dude, I don't want no Pokemon janking up my DS Lite.
Dude, is that all the heat we got?
That's all the heat woman found for us. We blew through that heat in 20 minutes and 46 seconds.
Okay, it was a slow news day, okay? Or news week.
Or news bin.
Oy.
Don't talk about that.
Don't talk about news bin. So, all right. So now, what are we going to do now, guys? We gotta do a little dance.
Dude, we got to do Stump Buck. I gotta think of one.
Stump Buck.
Allie, you go.
Dude,
quick.
I'm ready
one,
for Stump
go
Buck.
Quick.
Oh, she's gonna say. What is she gonna say? She's a woman. She hadn't played a lot of games. She's probably gonna say something along the lines of, "Have you ever played Kid Icarus? How about Castlevania? It's got this guy with the whip in it."
Oh, you just took the two I was gonna say.
Hey, did I do Under an Iron Moon? No. Under an Iron Sky. Under an Iron Sky?
Under an Iron Sky? I hadn't heard of that.
Okay, go. Under an Iron Sky.
All right, obviously, the word iron obviously means Soviet. So, he didn't laugh at that, so that means it's true. All right, so, we've got...
I just don't listen to Blake.
You're an American. It's a 2D vertical scrolling shooter, and you play as an American, you know, fighter plane fighting against the Soviet planes.
No. All right. Well, this game was
I thought that was like I was actually. I wasn't trying to be ridiculous. Usually, I put in a 90s movie reference or something to make everyone. But no, I tried to go a serious route, and you're telling me it's not.
It's not correct. It was a sci-fi. Adventure game, and I dare say published by LucasArts. But
wait,
you can
wait a second. There is no such game. Sci-fi adventure game.
It was post-apocalyptic sci-fi adventure game.
Dude, I would have heard of this.
I know
it was published by LucasArts. Well, I would have heard of this because I own all the LucasArts adventure
games. If somebody can tell us who published this game, because I found it on Abandonware the other day, it was pretty fun.
Dude, you cannot reference Abandonware. First of all, that's illegal.
No, it's not.
No, dude. Okay, we'll talk about this after this heat, but we'll get to the subject of Abandonware. But that doesn't count because you have not played the game originally, and it could even be in a made up game. Doesn't count. Doesn't count. Okay. He just made a face to that. All right, fine.
Okay, wait.
But let's talk about Abandonware for a minute. All right.
Oh.
Okay, William Miller, do you think Abandonware is legal or not?
Yes, I believe it is legal. If the company no longer owns rights to the game, then you can freely distribute it. So, for instance,
falls under that category.
Sure, it does. Look at some of the really old arcade titles that the license holder didn't bother to renew.
Of those are there?
There are a bunch.
Do you really think so?
Oh yeah, there are a ton.
I would say because look, generally how old games work is that. They trade hands, they get sold to other companies, and somebody doesn't have to pay a lot of money to own that game and later can resell it.
That's true.
You could get, once Midway is going out of business, they might sell their entire library for $100,000 to a
bigger
company.
It's true, but there are smaller developers that don't bother holding on to their copyrights.
I'd say those would be few and far between, though.
The
majority of Abandonware is, in fact, 100% illegal.
I disagree. Now, if you go to... just look up Abandonware on Google. Go to the top site with the most hits, and you'll see hundreds of titles there. Now, some of the titles, you click on them, and you can't download them because they actually are licensed. But the most of the titles that are there, you can download and play.
You just got the suspect guy, William Miller. I don't know if I believe that.
Well, check it out.
We'll have to bring in the deciding factor on this article. No, box of wheat thins. What do you think? All right, it sides with me. Wally, what do you think?
What do I think on it?
Do you know where Abandonware is?
Do
first
I use
of all?
The computer?
No.
Are there video games on a computer screen?
Allie's not a PC gamer.
Yeah.
She came along around Nintendo 64. I'm robbing the cradle.
No, I didn't. What? No.
Did you just say you're robbing the cradle? What does that mean?
You don't
is
know
that,
what you've never
sort
heard
of like
that before,
rape
Blake?
Or something?
It means I'm just a little baby in a cradle. And William Miller comes along and likes baby. Anyway.
Like, I wish I could play Buzzer X right now, but I can't. I can't Buzzer X. I'm sorry. All right, so, Allie, you've had some time to think.
Yes.
What's your stump book?
You got a final fight? Well, it was either that or... Thank you. Thank you for making me cry in public.
See, I wasn't going to laugh, but William Miller just fell out on the bed rolling when he heard that.
Thank you.
Final Fight was a Capcom published and developed side-scrolling beat-em-up in the mid-90s, came out on the arcade, featured a big guy named Hagar, who had the big muscles, and he flexed, and his shirt popped, and that's what I liked.
You forget, talking about things that you shouldn't have. Blake Buck has, like, a jillion ROMs.
Dude, I do not have a jillion ROMs.
Blake Buck calls me up one day, he's like, William Miller, guess what I got?
Is it good grades?
No, it ain't. It's 50 ROM CDs.
Dude, I do not endorse or condone the act of piracy in any shape. TipTimeWare.com. Oh, who said that?
Oh, damn. Okay, hang on. I can think of one. I'll think of one.
You cannot pull a game like from the 90s arcade beat-em-up genre. Blake Buck has got that on lockdown.
Okay.
Pick a girly anime game or something.
A girly anime game?
Or a mech game or something.
Here. This is recent. This is really recent. And I don't think you heard about it because it has big anime googly eyes on the cover.
Don't say Lunar.
Radiata Stories? Familiar? Radiata Stories?
Radeon Stories.
Radiata.
Radiata. First of all, there are too many syllables in that word to be a video game.
It's a good
Radiata.
Story. It's a good game.
Blake Buck is all about one syllable poor word. Blake Buck. He doesn't do Radiata. All right, Radiata Stories. Obviously, you've got the Radiots. They're from the planet Radion. And they've come to Earth to have sex with other Radiots. Problem is, that's always in everyone. Problem is that there are these Radiorians who are stopping. Okay, no, but seriously, this game, it's obviously a poorly written anime game where the director of the game wants to spend all the time watching cutscenes and not enough time fighting.
Actually, there's no cutscenes in it.
There is no such thing as an RPG with no cutscenes.
Nope, there's no cutscenes.
I consider dialogue a cutscene. You're telling me there's no dialogue.
Okay, I lied. Okay. No,
Well, what is it? Lay it on me.
Like, what it is?
Yeah.
It's basic RPG. You can play as a little dude, and you have a little girlfriend, and she's a bitch at the beginning.
But, let me guess, she's got magical powers?
Nope. She's better at sword fighting than you. Well, she gets magical when an elf takes her spirit.
Do you see? You see, all anime games have to have magical girl. All right? It's proven.
But the little, like, you know, coming to Radiot thing that you had going, that's actually
a
hentai.
That would have been a better game. Look, I got halfway through that, like, that little side scene, and I realized this is probably a much better game than the one she just picked.
It's actually a hentai called End of Summer. Go look it up, Blake Buck. There's also Furbies in it.
You know, you could just say a hentai game, and he probably won't have played it.
I have.
She's an expert of hentai.
Allie's a connoisseur of porno games.
Mm. I do love me my porno games. Mm. Should I rape Ayumi? Yes or no?
You click no. It says, "Are you sure?"
Basically. Oh my gosh! Don't let me. Don't get me started on one of those.
All right, enough of that heat. All right, so what are we gonna do now, guys? Now we've lost Justin Fick. He's out drinking tonight. We don't have a live show to call in. What do we do now? I think we should do like a list. The top 10 something games, or...
All right. Top 10. What's our top 10 topic?
All right. Not anime games. I'm done with that.
Damn.
We're done with that.
I'm not going to be able to speak the rest of the show. You're going to put me in the closet.
That's good.
How about... Hey, we talked about platformers earlier. How about top 10's a little hard. How about top 5 platform games of all time?
Top 5 platform games of all time. Okay. All
right, number 5. We gotta figure this. Well, it's gonna be kind of hard because we all have different number ones.
All right. Well, number 5 for me.
We gotta pick some like you know build up to it.
Yeah. Number 5 for me would be Zelda 2.
Zelda 2.
Now that was sort of a hybrid top down worldview with side scrolling Satan elements. But the majority of the gameplay was indeed a platformer.
I don't know about that.
You always had to talk to the old people in the town that'd give you stuff.
See, it was really funny because, like, the old woman, she'd give you magic when you walked into her house. The young woman, she gave you life when you walked into her house.
And you want that life.
That's right.
Much like Grand Theft Auto.
I'll give you life. You missed the visual there, audience. I'm sorry. All right, now, Allie, what's your pick for...
For number 5?
Oh, let's just do top 3.
Let's do top 3.
There's no way we could each come up with 5.
I was going to say, okay, let's see, top 3. That's hard. I'd say my number 3. Are we on number 3?
We're on number 3.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't count like Buck.
Look, I'll help you out. Okay. All right? This is the one that's before 2.
Okay. Jeez, I don't know. Would Zombies Ate My Neighbors count as a...
No, because I think a platforming has to have at least some form of jumping.
No, they do.
I would agree.
Let's define.
It does have jumping.
That is not
trampoline based jumping. Is not actually jumping because you didn't interact on multiple levels. I don't believe.
Exactly.
There was not multiple. It was all one level. There was trampolines like get over fences and stuff. Why do we know this?
That was a sweet game.
It was a good game.
Just not a platform.
Made by who?
I don't know.
Come on. LucasArts. Come on. Master right here.
That's right.
Oh, somebody wants to talk about Dean?
I do. All right.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Number 3 is such an awkward number. I would have to say Ratchet and Clank because I just played that.
Ratchet and Clank? All right, not
it
bad,
was a good platform.
Bad,
the first one.
The thing that bothered me about Ratchet and Clank is in the third one, he talks.
Oh.
Don't like that.
Wait, like are you thinking Ratchet and Clank?
Thinking Jack and Daxter.
I was
going
to say.
I'm thinking Jack and Daxter.
He talks in the second one, too. What's wrong with you?
Does he really?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, well.
As soon as the second one comes in and they mess with their mind with dark stuff, he's like, oh.
Right, so now I got a story. My girlfriend, she liked to come over to my house and play Jack and Daxter. And so when she got a PlayStation, I thought Jack and Daxter 2 just came out. I thought, this is going to be great. Little did I know, you turn on the game, and then there are guns and shooting and screaming and death. And she didn't like that game.
What game does she like? Get on to Mike.
Get on to Mike. That's my number 3 platform game. Get on to Mike. You jump up and down on the controller as you play the game. All right, number 3 platform game. I don't know. Because, see, this list is going to be BS, because I'll think of something later on that I'm going to...
I've got my number 1.
Yeah, I've got my number 1, too.
I got my number 1.
We've all got our number 1s, but the number 3 is hard. Okay. I'm going to go with... Oh, God, there's so many. Ooh. Can I say Sonic the Hedgehog? I think I'm going to go with Sonic.
I was going to put that as number 2.
I think that's a number 3 spot for me, Sonic the Hedgehog. A strong title, you know, you run fast. It kind of defined a generation, you know, of gamers. In the United States, at least, Genesis far outsold the Super Nintendo. Most people don't know that.
I did.
Genesis. Oh, what am I doing here? I'm out!
This is now the alley show.
No, it's not, ladies and gentlemen. Blake Buck is back. Do not flee.
Don't turn your iPhone. Don't press the menu button yet. All right.
You're lucky
don't
we're,
press it. All right.
You're lucky we're doing a radio show.
It was a really great Genesis game. The sequels that it spawned were all either just as good, if not better. You know, it was a strong franchise. And one thing I really like about Sonic the Hedgehog, bright, bright colors.
Yep.
Blake Buck likes bright colors. You look at even Mario. Mario is more pastel than Sonic the Hedgehog. It moved faster. It was kind of cheap at times because you'd run real fast and then hit spikes.
Yeah.
So that was how they made that game hard. Oh, look, there are spikes. You lose.
I like the thing about I like about that game is that going along with what you're saying about the colors, like it started out in jungle.
Yeah.
And ended up in Machine Land.
And music, the music in the game was really good too. I have the 10-year compilation album. That I think it's funny because I remember when I bought the 10-year compilation album, now the 20-year compilation album is out.
Blake Buck has a problem. All right.
Oh, it's Sonic CD. I've never played Sonic CD.
I have this game.
Sonic CD? That's apparently ungodly awesome.
Dude, Sonic CD rocked my face off when it would work. The Sega CD is the most jank thing I've ever seen in my life, and when it worked though, it had a little.
If you guys want to play, it's on the Sonic Gems collection now.
Oh, really?
It's been re-released on all three. Platforms.
I remember that game had the coolest cinematic in the beginning. It had a Sonic
3D?
No, it wasn't 3D. It was all cel shaded animated, but it had like this catchy like Sonic tune.
Super Sonic Racing, da 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 da.
Something like that. No man, it was Sonic Boom.
Oh yeah,
Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom. Dude, that was back then. Okay, so anyway, it was like it played back at 4 frames a second, and I thought that was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. But yeah, that was a good game. That was a good game. All right. My number two is Super Metroid.
Ooh. You. Had I thought of that, I would have said it. Oh, wait. I got my number two. All right.
I got my number
two. I remember that was the first game I popped in that had a voice in the beginning.
Dude.
The last Metroid is in captivity.
The galaxy is at peace.
Why did we just say it at the same time? Let's not ever do that again.
Man.
When your powers activate. We should activate on both sides of Allie's head.
A catalyst in between.
So Super Metroid, I thought, was the most genius game ever because it was the first platformer game to ever introduce a persistent world. Or at least semi-persistent.
That was, not Castlevania. The persistent world Castlevania came with PlayStation. So I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it was. Don't be taking that heat. That's my heat. You get off that heat.
Oh, I got my number one.
Oh, I got my number one.
And it's
too.
Not your number one.
It's not my number one. Wait, we don't know which each other is number one. All right, so Metroid, good. Super Metroid, by the way, crowning jewel.
Yep.
Never surpassed Super Metroid. Never will again.
Nope.
Metroid Prime looking at you. And, you know.
Stylus, what the deuce?
No, but even Prime on the GameCube, you know, it's like...
Hey, it was fun when you were the little ball, okay? That was fun with the stylus.
All right.
The stylus?
Go.
I really...
Stylus is what you get done to your hair. I know you do that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you could tell. That's so nice. But
number two. Go.
I would have to say my number two, and don't make fun of me for this, even though...
Poppin' Twinbee's Rainbow Bell Adventure.
Haven't you... Get out of my brain. Oh, okay. No. I really liked Devil May Cry, the first one. I really did, okay? It was cool. It was fun.
You and William Miller just made faces at each other.
You could jump around. You had white hair. You were hot.
Look, I like number three because he was hotter in number three. He had that hot man flesh.
He was more...
Whoa!
He was more feminine in number three. He was.
That's how Japanese culture likes their men. All right.
That's how I like my men, too.
Ooh, that means you gay! I thought I'd let the audience know. So Devil May Cry. I never really liked that game so much because it was so hard.
It was.
I'm a girl, all right? When I play games, I want to win. And when I don't win, I cry. And since I don't like crying, I don't play hard games.
I thought that you just got to, you know... do so much in it, and I really liked, you know, all the weapons you got to unlock. I mean, even though it wasn't really a plethora of it, I liked the animations that went on with it. It was fun. It was a fun game.
Okay.
And it was hard, and that's what made it fun. And I got to shoot things, and that was fun.
I don't know what you were about to say.
I don't know what you were about to say. Me and Wee Miller were both about to say something, and then we just laughed because we knew the other one was going to say a joke at the same time, but we couldn't go.
This all in the same place thing. I just don't know.
I don't know about it.
All right, Blake Bug, number two.
My number two, gotta say it, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Did I take anybody's number one?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, it definitely needs to be on the list.
I like that game because you play it. Once you think you beat it, no, turns upside down.
You get double game. But Symphony of the Night is really, it's almost my number one just because it's such, it did everything right. It took RPG elements, but only just, you know, it doesn't beat you over the head with RPG elements, just enough to make it fun and engaging. There's a lot of gameplay, a lot of monsters. The story was good. The voice acting,
bad.
Dude.
What?
Die, monster! You don't belong in this world!
What is a man but a miserable pile of
secrets? Say it again.
What is a man but a miserable pile of secrets?
Secrets.
It's three syllables on that one.
But the story's fairly good, you know, and it was overall solid game. Highly susceptible to scratches. I have three copies of Symphony of the Night because they're so sensitive.
You know, that game is a real testament to the skill of the level designers that worked on it. Because not only did your level have to work one direction, it had to work upside down, too. The whole game, the whole map.
It was awesome.
And it was really good.
And you got to be a bat.
And they've tried to recapture that since then with the Game Boy iterations, the Aria of Sorrow, Harmony of Distance, Dawn of Toads or something. I don't even know. My Plague of Locusts, whatever. You know, some of them are good. You know, like the DS one's fun, but it's like, you know, just that, you know, it's like the Me Too games, you know. It's like, oh, we're like Symphony of the Night, blame me. You know, if I could just get the original Symphony of the Night, like, see, that used to be what I did before I had my DS or SP. I used to bring that PSP everywhere with Symphony of the Night.
I remember that.
That's all that PSP played. That disc was stuck in there, and I was happy about it. All right, William Miller, your number one, go.
All right.
Not be my number one. I'm gonna be pissed, dude. It's gonna be my number one.
My number one was introduced to me on the Inside Mac Games podcast.
Oh, your number one platformer of all time.
My number one platformer of all time is Cave Story.
What?
Cave Story.
I absolutely love Cave Story.
I never really played through Cave Story that much.
It takes everything that I love about Symphony of the Night, about Metroid, and, you know, about Mario, and combines it into one great game. And the only shortcoming is that it was very short. You know, maybe just a few hours of gameplay to beat this game. But it was great. It was like classic. It had a very nostalgic feel because all the pixel art was there and the gameplay was very responsive and stylish and just a great game.
Well, I don't have much to say on it other than I know Justin Fick loves it.
Yeah, and it was made by one dude over a period of 5 years. One dude did all the art and all the code in 5 years.
You gotta. That's kind of sad. He made this great game. William Miller, you're number one platformer of all time. Nobody's heard of him. He hasn't sold a single copy of anything.
I don't know his name.
He could even have. I mean, if there was a shirt on his site that said Cave Story off Cafe Press and charged $20. He would even sell some of those, and he doesn't. If you go make something great, you gotta market it, you gotta get it out there, you gotta get your face in my face, all right?
Yeah, he doesn't, the site, I mean, there's no real official website for this game. The way I got it, and it's a Japanese game, and you have to get a translator patch
for it. Give us a URL or somewhere.
Well, I don't have the URL. Just look up Cave Story on Google, and you'll find it. But the main source for the game is a fan site. That you can get the Japanese version and a patch for the Japanese version, and I think various methods for editing the game.
Yeah,
and
it's
all
on Inside Mac Games, so if you search Cave Story Inside Mac Games, you'll find it.
Right. But there's no, like, official location for this thing that I can find, or it's not very... The web presence is almost non-existent, so you really have to dig, but it's a gem. So go check it out.
Absolutely. All right, Allie, it's time for your number one.
Oh, I don't have any... You know,
I'm stepping back from the mic from this.
Oh, God.
Because I'm going to laugh.
No, okay.
Dot hack.
All of them.
All of them, 1 through 8.
No, I really like
Mario 64. I think that that was really innovative, and I think it was really cool. And I know that's kind of the obvious answer
for
number
my game.
One.
Stole my game.
Did I?
You did steal my game, but I have another one. I have a backup because
okay.
I thought you might.
Okay, good. Because, I mean, it was just so innovative for the time, and it was so cool. It's still cool to go
Mario
back and play 64 Mario 64.
Is quite possibly one of the greatest games ever created of all time because it is the most successful 2D to 3D conversion of any game ever.
Ever.
Yes.
Ever.
And it was the first game it was one of the first 3D titles on a console. So they had to figure out all that camera stuff. Like, we take camera for granted.
Oh, yeah.
They thought that up.
See now the way cameras work in games now is that, like, for instance, a game like God of War, the camera, see, that game is really amazing because it's camera, because it moves just where they just play tested it a billion times, and it moves where it should, you know, on its own. But back in 1994, to imagine anything like that, you know, you're still thinking in horizontal jump up hit block.
That was amazing. That game just felt right when you played it and when you flew through the air.
And
it was cool.
That was the first game that had Mario's voice in it. And I have to this day never heard a single person complain about Mario's voice.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
People complain about Zelda's voice. People complain about, you know, what was it you were complaining about earlier?
Somebody's I was complaining voice. About something.
She complains about everything. It's
whose voice was she complaining about? Oh, Jack from Jack.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You know, everybody always complains about. No one complains about Mario at all. I mean, just every single aspect of that game was spot on.
And it was a launch title too. And it was a huge game.
Hey, don't forget its sister title that it launched with, a Pilotwing 64. Yeah, big seller.
I remember
big
that.
Seller,
dude.
That was a cool.
That game. was like an attempt at a sandbox, but they forgot to put the sand in there. No dice, or a blast core.
Dude, I love blast core. What are you talking, dude? Like, see that? I waited so long for blast core. That was like the biggest game ever. And when it came out, I loved it, and I played it a million times. I love blast core. Maybe it was because I was in the sixth grade and had a low attention span. Maybe.
And then what came along? To Rock.
And then its sequel, To Rock 2, Seeds of Evil. Which I received a free t-shirt from pre-ordering the game.
What Turok had that one tag multiplayer thing where you got to turn into a monkey and a chicken?
Turok Rage Wars, which was actually a very critically well-received title. No one bought it.
Kind of like Frequency and Amplitude.
That's right.
Go buy those.
Yeah.
Kind of like every Dreamcast game ever.
Dude, okay, so I went to on my last day in Boston... I just finished working a day at Harmonix, and I went to Demiurge Studios. Al, where you at?
Where you at, buddy? You've been holding up MSO2 long enough.
Okay, so I went to Demiurge, and Al won there, but a bunch of people were, and they have game night every Thursday. So I went there, and guess what was on the Dreamcast? Power Stone.
Oh, was it Power Stone 1 or 2?
2.
Ooh, that means it has 4 players and multiple arenas per stage. You got to know the difference.
Anyway, that game was good. I'll admit it. You know, I'm not...
Look, Power Stone is really, like, the precursor to, like, Super Smash Brothers, and, I mean, it was really a gem.
All right, Blake Buck, what's your number one?
My number one, revised number one. This is a little more of a throwback than Mario 64, but you gotta give it credit just because it single-handedly revitalized, I'd say, the entire gaming industry. William Miller, what is it?
Wait, what was it a throwback to? I wasn't listening to you.
Donkey Kong.
Throwback to Donkey Kong.
No, it is Donkey Kong. Because without Donkey Kong, we wouldn't have what?
Mario.
That's right. And the Nintendo Entertainment System and no gaming industry today, period. Or at least...
All right, so tell the story of Donkey Kong, Blake Buck.
Well, the old prospect is back, and he's gonna sit you kids down and tell you about the game we all call Donkey Kong. All right, so back in the day, there were these flashing computer screens we call the arcades now. Thing was, in the mid-80s, these things were kind of going on the down and out, you know what I'm saying? The game industry had crashed in the late 70s. Nobody wanted any of them newfangled home consoles. You just had to play in the arcades. Great games like Pac-Man were really leading the way in the industry. I should really stop this voice. So, So Nintendo, which was a card game, and also card games they developed, and Love Hotels.
Ooh.
No kidding.
Love Hotels.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
That
Nintendo
means,
was in the love
no,
hotel
I'm not
going to
say a dirty word on the show.
Now, isn't Nintendo still producing card games? Didn't they just release one? Wasn't there one out at E3?
Like some physical sort
of, like a physical card game, some derivative of one of their titles.
Well,
the
cards they made were not anything we played in our Western.
Well, I know, but I think I think there's still
Ichigo Ichai, you know, Part 2, The Redemption, Armageddon. Okay, maybe not. But they had this big game called Radar Scope that they were pushing in 1985, and they were like, whoa. It's got radars and scopes on it. And you, like, shoot submarines, and it's going to be awesome. American kids love submarines because the Cold War is still going strong. And so they sent 100 blickjillion radar scopes over to a warehouse in the U.S. And then so the guys over at Nintendo, which I think it wasn't Kenneth Lobb. He wasn't working there yet. But another guy. What's his name? No. Iwata. Mm-hmm. Iwata, back before he was NOA president, he was, like, marketing director. I don't remember. But, so he was like, well, all right, we got all these games, and nobody wants them in the arcades. So the word got back to Japan, and, which, by the way, Japan president of Nintendo, Yamuchi, he is Iwata's father-in-law.
Whoa.
So father-in-law got the note that said, we're not doing so hot, daddy, over here, and he was not pleased. So he got this new kid on the block, Miyamoto, who said, oh, I'm going to make it crazy. And so he redesigned the chipsets for Radar Scope to make Donkey Kong, loosely based on King Kong from of American culture. So they sent him over there, and they replaced all the ROM sets and changed all the cabinet art, and it sold like, as Tunsil Dennis might say,
gangbusters.
I was hoping Allie would say it, but that works too.
Don't.
She doesn't watch the show. What am I talking about? So, I mean, and after that, you know, home consoles picked back up, all from Nintendo's doing, and we are where we are today. Now, I would still argue that we would still have a console market today if it weren't for Donkey Kong and Nintendo. I'm sure it would have come back around eventually, but its significance in the industry is near unparalleled.
It's a pretty good one for number one there, Blake.
Yeah. I'm an industry expert.
My head's spinning right now.
And did I mention I really like cheeseburgers and hot dogs?
No, that's mine.
And I like the game Black because you shoot stuff. All right, so that's it. Those are the top 9 platformers of all time. So anything else we want to add?
That was a good rundown of platforms.
That was a good rundown.
I like that. We should figure out a way to streamline this aspect of the show. So if you have any suggestions as to how to do that, hit us up.
Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. No, her.
.com. Oh, don't mess with my head.
I got it done by my stylist. This. All right.
He's an up, dude.
That was a throwback, Blake Buck. Good
job.
That
was a pretty wild callback there. It was a callback to a dialogue flub. Okay. And now we've got a very special feature. Stop. Stop making sad noises. We've got a very special feature on the Best In Podcast Ever. It turns out that they're actually women and they play video games. Now, I've only thought that this was the you know, liberal media trying to get their message across. But apparently, we have one here that actually plays games. So, Allie, is it? Is that your name?
Yeah, two L's.
Wow. Does it have I and a heart at the end?
No, I dot the I with a heart and have an E at the end.
Ooh, that's nice. All right, So, Allie, you're a gamer and a girl. How does that work? Explain that to us.
I have to take shots twice a day.
Okay, right.
To get through, and if I miss the shots, then I revert back to just liking shopping.
And then the plogus burst out of your head.
Yeah. The plogus burst out of my head.
But so we were in the square today.
Okay.
And, And uh-oh. We're walking by, you know, a bunch of these shops. And where did Allie want to go? Lachey's.
I didn't want to go to Lachey's.
What is
Lachey's? I don't even have to say what Lachey's is.
I wanted to go into Misbehave. It's a difference.
It does not sound like a manly thing.
Dude, it's like you have to pay $100 just to look at that store.
just wanted to go inside and look at it, but no. Someone had to go and, like, bum around and go eat a cheeseburger, and I'll give you two guesses on who it was.
You love that cheeseburger
it
we got today.
It was a good
today.
Cheeseburger. Wait,
Bug, you need to go to Handy Andy. Ooh. That is the place. That's where all the cops go. Cheeseburgers in Oxford. Handy Andy.
That's how you know that's a good burger.
It's a good burger. Anyway. But I can attest to the fact that Allie plays more games than I do by several orders of magnitude, meaning I play one, and she plays more than one.
At least two.
If I'm feeling
so, Allie, what kind of games do you like to play?
Don't even. He's asking me the questions. You were
but
breathing.
You don't get to talk. I just got her a Nintendo DS for her birthday.
Oh, I see that.
And
see that.
She's been playing Brain Age, and her brain age is 56.
Thank you. Will's brain age is 72. And moving on.
And I haven't tested mine yet, so jury's still out.
And Blake Buck, he's a one.
No, that's good.
I know. Yeah. Dude, I know everything about video games.
No, okay. I like to
Don't
play.
Don't try and pull one over on Blake Buck. You thought I was going to say a big number, didn't you? No. Blake Buck knows.
I like playing survival horrors.
Why do you like RPGs? Survival horror? I've always found most survival horrors to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Very.
Suck?
Just awkward to control. All the same, if clunky to me, you know, you're going walking around. I should have video for this, but like, imagine you're walking and you got your gun in your hand out in front of you, and then you want to shoot up, so you point at the sky, and that's how you shoot up.
Yeah, basically, but that's part of the scary part.
Oh, I see. I don't have the skills to use my weapon, so it's scary.
Well, yeah, duh. Have you ever played any of the Clock Towers, Blake Buck?
I have seen the Clock Towers, but never played them.
Okay, well.
Are they masterpieces of gaming?
They're terrifying. Well, the first one's great, and the third one, you turn into, like, a sailor scout to defeat bosses, and that's lame.
Yeah,
but the first one, it got a big dude running around chasing you with scissors, and you can't. Some moments you can fight back in the game, but all of it's running and hiding. You gotta make sure your panic meter doesn't go up. It's scary, it's fun.
What is your favorite survival horror game go?
Oh, that's so easy and so painfully obvious. Silent Hill.
Now, I would have said Resident Evil 4 because it's not a survival horror game.
But you
Why
see,
you
Resident
like...
Evil 4, I would argue it being a survival. I mean, like, yeah, it's a survival horror, but
it's
Resident Evil
are
always
in It's the only successful
in
incarnation
there.
Of a survival horror game that I will even play.
Well, there you go.
It's because it's got a lot of shooting.
It's got a lot of shooting, not a lot of talking. That's what
more,
I like.
It's got more shooting than surviving.
Yeah, that's why I would argue it to be a survival. Because I can control it fairly easily and enjoy
it's
playing
It's not
it.
Awkward, and I can see where I'm going, so it's not survival horror.
Exactly.
I don't. There's none of those angles where I have to walk towards the camera, and then it flips around, and there's a monster.
They break the 180-degree rule a lot in survival horror games.
But yeah, so I would say Silent Hill.
Now, why Silent Hill? Now, you know, they made a great movie of that, I hear, recently. Was
Dude,
it?
That movie was butt.
I love that movie. Yes. Let's watch it right now. No, it was a good, movie.
So why do you like what is it? Silent Hill. Sorry, when it's survival horror, they come hand in hand, I gotta.
Well, I'm going to throw in the woman answer and say story.
Oh.
Now, it's fun, it's cool, and it's scary because, like, there's mist all the time, and I know that's
an
excuse.
And mist is pretty spooky. Mist is spooky, and there are,
and
like,
it's
nurse
black, and you
creatures.
Can't see it, and, oh, it's scary. It's just scary.
There are new nurse creatures with dismembered faces.
Are you saying that because you saw the movie?
No, I thought they were in the game, or at
yeah,
least they
are
in the later games.
There are. Yeah. I just wanted
I told you I know everything about games.
I'd applaud, but...
So, what was I going to say? Oh, have you ever played any of the Alone in the Dark series?
Alone in the Dark. Isn't that the... I thought there was only one of those.
Will you, Miller, stop making a face at me? No, there are, in fact, 4 Alone in the Dark games.
Oh.
3 on the PC, and 1 recently they re-released that was crap.
That was crap.
If you can believe it.
Alone
if you
in
can
the
believe
Dark.
It, a crap survival horror game. Shocking, I know.
Those can't exist.
See, what I like about survival horror games is, like, playing your guy is like driving a tank. Like, pressing forward goes forward no matter what. Like if you want to turn around, you got to hold left. Tank turns left. Now forward.
They always have those funny little side steps. You know, where never mind. I'm going to do a hand motion to you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is how you go from side to side.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That would be called a strafe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Strafing. Strafing. They strafe all over the place.
I just strafed myself. All right, so... All right, so what other kind of games do you like? You got survival horror, what else?
Oh, I'm going to go another... I like... RPG.
Did you say Japanese weeaboo RPGs? Is that... I thought I heard you say that.
Yes.
In response to your question, yes. All right, so why do you... I'm assuming you like the extremely overly anime RPGs, right?
Why? Yes or yes?
But. Well, I mean, why do you... Like, why not... Why can't it be Zelda?
Zelda? I love Zelda.
Zelda is only moderately anime.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't... I would definitely say that the best RPGs are moderately anime. But,
okay, what about... I'm a fan of more American role-playing games myself, such as, what is it called? Oh yes, Diablo 2!
You see, you want to know why girls don't like...
The Butcher.
Do you want to know why girls don't like, you know, like Diablo 2?
Why is that? Why don't
they? Because it's Diablo 2?
It's got devil right in the title. Spanish devil.
I think it's because there's a lot of text that happens in the bottom of the screen. And I know it isn't text that tells me how my character's ambiguously in love with another character. So
I
want to
love her. I just don't really feel like doing it.
Blake, but tell the Diablo 2 story.
Dude, we have multiple Diablo 2
stories. No, the William Miller, Blake Buck, Diablo 2
dynamic. I think we told the
story,
but I'll give it. Okay, so back in the day, back last summer, William Miller used to live at the same house over last summer, and we played Diablo 2 together. Now, whenever we played Diablo 2, here's how it works. See, I would call my girlfriend on the phone, and then we would go into our separate rooms, and we would just play Diablo while I was on the phone with woman. So, you'll soon experience this, Allie, I'm sure.
I think I already have, haven't I?
No, I don't play games.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I read books while I'm talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, Diablo and Moby Dick, yes. So, oh, yes, let me get this code here. So when we play Diablo 2, it's all about getting the items in that game. And anything that drops on the ground, we call a code.
K-O-D-E.
K-O-D-E. So you want to get as many codes as you possibly can. So whenever you hear like one of those rare items drop and it makes like that ding noise, that means it's time for codes. And the winner is determined by whoever gets the most codes by the end of the night.
And who got all the codes?
It was William Miller, because I did all the work. He got all the codes.
Now, see, I would go like, I don't know. I could say I went 3 or 4 screens ahead of Blake. No, I went like 3 or 4 zones ahead of Blake. You know how you're supposed to level?
There aren't any codes left in the zone.
No, well, see.
3 or 4 acts.
I mean, they say that you level up faster if you're playing in the same place in Diablo. That's not true. If you skip, you know, 3 or 4 acts ahead of Blake Buck and start fighting, you're going to level up faster. But, okay. But, when I heard that ding, I hauled across the screen, the whole world even.
No.
And I would get that code.
I scrolled
Blake
town portaled and got that shit. Alright. Alright, so back to the point here, Allie. Mm-hmm. Allie, you say that girls don't play a lot of games. They only play very specific, localized kinds of games, and they like pink. They like RPGs.
Yeah.
Apparently you like survival horrors because you're freak. How, as William Miller and I are sort of vying game developers, how can we harness the female market if we wanted to? Which we don't, because we hate women. But if we wanted to, I mean, what are developers missing out on?
Seriously? Like, you won't... You
yeah,
really
I,
want
I would
to
like
know.
Serious commentary here if you can manage that. I mean,
okay. I'll try.
Wade Miller is on the floor.
I think that... A lot of it, I don't think, really has to do with the developers. I think it has to do with the people who, you know, market the games. And I think that a lot of times, I think it's just in our society, people actually have always thought that video games are for dudes. And I think that they'll probably continue to think that.
But how
I mean,
do we change that paradigm?
That paradigm?
That's right, that paradigm. I don't pronounce fancy words. I pronounce them phonetically.
I think you could probably... I think it's already kind of on the mend. Because I know that there's more female gamers out there.
What do you think about, like, the Wii? Is that going to bring him... I mean, that's what Nintendo's trying to do. But do you think that's really going to get there?
I honestly think that the Wii is definitely... I think Nintendo's done a great job so far to bring in different types of gamers and stuff. I think that they're really innovative with, you know, all the stuff that they're doing with the TV remote control and the squatting and the hitting midair and stuff.
Wait a minute, the squatting?
Haven't you gone to their website and seen that
advertisement? I must have missed the squat.
There's a chick squatting. There's a chick squatting.
Sign me up for that. Chick Squatters. That's the new title from Nintendo on the Wii. Chick Squatters.
There's like a chick squatting with a TV remote control on her head.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious. You've seen it. But I think that Nintendo, I think the Wii will definitely help open it up. And I think like a lot of party games, a lot of times you go up to, you know, let's say average college girl, blonde hair, tan skin. And you're like, you like playing video games? And she'll look at you and go, like the ones where you get to race? And hey, that's better than...
Is that making babies? Because I like that.
Yeah. And I think, especially with this whole new nerd, being a nerd.
Let's talk about this for a second. The average age of the gamer has changed from around 8 to 15, 10 years ago, to 18 to 25.
Yeah, our generation's grown up with it.
So do you think that, I mean, you know, males in our generation have grown up with it. Do you think do you think they're going to start targeting towards older girls? Is the girl demographic going to stay kind of the Kim Possible on Game Boy Advance kind of thing? 1 through 5. There are 5 Kim Possibles on the Game Boy Advance.
I'm aware. 5. I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Looks fun. I'm going to go buy those.
I've got them all. One for each day of the week. I'm not smoking pot.
So cool. We're unstoppable. So much fun. Anyway.
Stop.
Just stop. The joke is over.
Where are my edit points? See, the thing is, I would have wanted to edit that out, but I'm hearing myself talk editing, and I'm playing Resident Evil 4, and there's a big monster, and I'm like, no, it stays, because I got to beat this thing.
I think that, I think it probably will stay small unless, you know, with the media you can kind of bring in that, you know, I would say casually that, hey, look, it's a girl and she's enjoying a game. Oh, well, that's not weird at all, even though, of course, you would be watching the TV and going, this is a lie, and pointing at it and stuff.
I would. But
no, I don't really think it's weird that girls play video games, and I think there are a lot more girls that play video games.
William Miller, you've got to stop, man. Like, when she's saying actual commentary, you cannot make the duck face in the background. You cannot do that. All right, so William Miller, what do you think about girls and gaming? Why didn't old Papa W, why don't you come in and weigh in on this subject?
Well, I could have some witty comment about females and gaming, but I think that Allie is right in that it is up to the people that market the game, i.e. publishers, to market games to female audience. Now, we've got proof right here. You know, girls like games that guys play. You don't have to make Barbie Fairy Princess 2000 to tap into that market. Girls will play survival horror games. You know, girls will play just about anything, especially stuff that's, you know, not targeted at anyone specifically, like a lot of things that are coming out on the Wii. So I think it's the way that games are marketed, how we view the gamer, the image of the gamer has to change. So,
well, are you ready for what I think?
Oh God, here it comes.
I'm trying not to smile. Okay. Well, I think the real thing about girls and playing games is that we aren't branching out enough with our game with. I'm trying so hard. We aren't branching out.
This better be good. You're building it up.
We aren't branching. Okay, so we aren't branching off enough. I can't look at you. We aren't branching off enough with our game development. You know, a lot of the time game is it's developed, you know, all around, you know, a one media center in the home. I think we need to start bringing games into the kitchen.
Don't play Mario.
I was thinking about maybe some sort of pot integration. Maybe a little like screen over the dishwasher. Maybe in the dishwasher. Who knows?
Ooh, do you think you can get them into my sewing machine too?
They might. You know, we've been looking for a DDR pad for that little mat you stand on because it hurts your feet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Or butter churning integration.
Yeah, but you know, churn the butter to the beat. You know,
Oh, okay. Wow, what a great idea, Blake Buck.
So, there you
go. I take back all my comments. Washboard
games.
When I'm working on the loom, I need a video game.
All right, so.
Well, all right, that does it for this week in gaming. Blake Buck, what do you even think about that?
Well, I'll tell you, William Miller, was a really fantastic week. We had some very valuable commentaries from our fine young lady guest. What was your name again? Allie. That's right. Almost forgot it there. Allie what?
I'm not giving you
Janka
my...
Key?
No, I'm not... Allie Robkey. There.
That's your name.
Don't stalk me.
At least you remember that.
Don't Facebook me. I don't care.
Everybody can Facebook it.
Unless you want to see her kissing girls.
Don't even put that out there.
That's all that's on there.
MySpace.com/Allie Robkey. That's nothing. I just assume that's where it's at.
No.
So,
no.
Go find her.
No.
If you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. That's right, 845-BATTLE-9. Had to remember that one. It was a little tough.
A little tough.
It's a little new, our listening line. Hadn't got any calls yet, so you better call in. Maybe you win a prize, but probably not.
We've got forums, bestdamnpodcastever.com/forum.
If you'd like to hear the live show when it's actually working, you can go to bestdamnpodcastever.com/live show, and you can tune in. Next week, we'll be back to the regular thing. Should we do a Sunday show? What do you think?
I think Sunday shows are good. Yeah.
I think we'll do a Sunday show this week. Maybe a little shorter because we've already expunged most of the news. But why not? Reward our listeners who are so hard at work clicking our Google ads. Who said that? All right. So from all of us here at Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And I'm Allie Robkey.
And we will see you next time.